This is Pure Decking, show number 382 for Thursday, March 5th. I think it's 2020. I'm not really sure anymore. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and gargling bleach to defeat the Kung Flu. I'm Morps. Tonight we have Madman. Madman, can you still find bleach?
I've got a few gallons under my sink, along with some old Windex. Never know when you need to take the Kung Flu out once it goes airborne.
I wonder if the Windex would work. I mean, it's got ammonia in it.
It'll make mustard gas. It'll either kill it or me. I mean, either way, there'll be a death in the apartment.
And are you? How are you defeating the Kung Flu?
Get my mask on right now, and it's fucking hard to breathe through this thing, so I think I'm going to suffocate before I get the fucking flu.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Because if you've ever tried to breathe through any fucking mask that will actually save you from this fucking flu, you are going to die. They're designed for people with larger lung capacities than the average individual. Oh, you ever tried to breathe through one of those things, man?
Yeah, I have.
Fuck. It's fucking hard work.
I got lightheaded pretty quickly.
Let me just put it back on and see how long before I pass out, eh?
Oh, you actually had a mask on. I thought you were pinching your nose.
I want to get a plague doctor's mask now.
I'd love to say I've got one of those masks, but I just had my hand over my mouth, man.
I know.
I'm not that prepared. Jesus Christ.
I mean, I've been using a painter's mask just because, you know, it kind of looks badass.
Dude, if you haven't got the flu, it's not worth having the mask. You're better off wearing eye protection because that's where you're going to get it. It's only for people who have the flu. They're for their projectiles. So if you don't have it, better off just wearing sunglasses and that while you're out in public, just in case anyone does coof in your face.
Now I have an excellent reason to wear my sunglasses at night. So,
well, I was
besides flashing back to a weird 80s song.
Yep, that.
I was out in public for 2 hours, man. I didn't practice what I preached. You either get it or you don't, man.
I was in public for 12 hours, decided I hated them.
Yeah.
You hated the public too? Yeah. I guess we should read out the IRC. We've got some new people in tonight. We have myself, Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, Psychros, twice for some reason, DP View, Madman, and Overnoid.
Hola.
So... for anybody listening to the show after the fact, you can, of course, get into the IRC. It's Galaxy 15 Radio on Freenode, or if you go to galaxy15radio.com, we have a portal right there on the page. DPView is claiming that Cyber is a bot. So that, I mean, it looks like a bot. I don't know why it wouldn't be a bot.
We do support the uprising.
Yeah. DPView now says he has no soul. Well, just because he happened to work as a male prostitute doesn't mean you have to go.
just think of that bot as our little communal fleshlight. Everybody has a go.
The bot doesn't know me very well. Does have a plan to show my cock all across the land. And if it knew me, it would know it's my ass that many people have seen.
I always it thought Sardonyx's account was the bot.
Too fake and gay to be a bot.
Oh, well, maybe. So, anyways, so I guess we'll...
Those of you who are following the news realize that our servers almost got wiped out by an act of God. Tornadoes nearly killed Morps.
Nah, well, you know. Dodged out of the way in time. It was fine.
Dodge.
Hey, what can I say, man? I really enjoyed Dragon Ball Z Abridged. Took its lessons to heart.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Well, okay, that's dodgeball, but Dragon Ball Z Abridged is just, you know, screaming dodge at a small child and then kicking him in the head.
Anyway, sorry, hijacked it there.
It's
on with
fine.
The show.
It's fine. So, first thing to talk about is from The Verge. Twitter now bans dehumanizing remarks based on age, disability, and disease. Twitter has...
What?
Yeah, Twitter wants to control speech at this point. It's, you know...
Good. Have at it, Jack, you're faggot.
Twitter has updated its hate speech policies to cover tweets that make dehumanizing remarks. Remember when everybody was making jokes about the NPCs? They all said that was a dehumanizing remark. So this is now Twitter, you know, adjusting the policy to appease them. Which are remarks that treat others as less than human on the basis of age, disability, or disease. So, yeah, now saying learn to code is officially against Twitter's hate speech policies.
Oh, so it's okay, boomer. Maybe that'll go away, because that's one of the dumbest fucking sayings.
Yeah.
Not even a baby. I say it's dumb because I've been told okay, boomer, and I'm not a fucking boomer.
No, no, madman. The correct response is when somebody says okay, boomer, is to turn around and cut a fart in the room. They wanted a boom. I mean, you know. Anyways, prior to that, Twitter issued a broad ban in 2018 on dehumanizing speech to complement its existing hate speech policies that covered protected classes like race and gender. It has since been updating these dehumanization policies to take into account specific cases its original rule set failed to address based on user feedback. Twitter now says tweets like the ones in the image below will be removed when they are reported. So the first one is all age group are leeches and don't support deserve any support from us. People with disease are rats that contaminate everyone around them. People with disability are subhuman and shouldn't be seen in public. I haven't heard that one in a while. That's kind of a contrived one.
If you're gonna have a go at someone for being disabled, make it a good shot.
Yeah.
Like, they can't fucking help it.
Like, you know...
And you know what? If they are disabled, they've generally got a dark sense of humor anyway, because they're having to live through this shit.
You know, I mean, if you're going to make a good disability joke, you got to do something along the lines of, what's the hardest part of the vegetable to eat?
The wheelchair.
Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Oh,
well,
and
I sell
the...
it for scrap.
Say what?
You either sell a wheelchair for scrap or put it out as a trap for another quadriplegic.
Ooh, I like the trap method. I hadn't thought of that one. And then the final example was, religious group should be punished. We are not doing enough to rid us of those filthy animals. That's right. You can't call out cults anymore on Twitter. So,
the cults you don't have to worry about. They'll commit suicide eventually.
So if I want to ridicule some of the child sex cults, that's not on anymore.
Apparently not. It's against the hate speech policies.
That's... Yeah. Fuck off, Jack.
Ooh, I don't see. Would you like some Pizzagate? We'll have to make up some new ones. They're not going to keep up with this.
Go ahead.
Where do they stand on Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself?
I don't know on that one. I haven't. I don't follow
Twitter
well enough to know.
Where do they stand on saying that Harvey Weinstein's a piece of shit? That's dehumanizing. So we can't ridicule publicly the most abhorrent fucking actions of people anymore. We've just got to sit silent and eat shit while these fuckers can do what they want.
Wasn't public ridicule like the main usage of Twitter?
I thought that's what it did.
Yeah. So now they're just running their core audience away.
So are they going to be just insta-banning people who call Trump a fucking orange man?
That's dehumanizing?
It. Yeah, I don't think Jack's serious about this.
I think it's
not
I
in
think
the way he thinks it is.
I think it's all whim laws. It's so they have something on the books, so yeah. When they ban somebody, they can point and say, well, back in 2007, you called Rosie O'Donnell a human barrel, and that's dehumanizing, so therefore we banned your account.
It's actually a nice thing to say about Rosie. I can think of worse.
Twitter first rolled out policies banning dehumanizing speech in September of 2018. At the time, Twitter asked for feedback and later said it received more than 8,000 responses across more than 30 countries in just 2 weeks. Much of the feedback centered around the policies being too broad, so Twitter has begun calling out specific types of speech against specific groups as against its rules, starting with religion and now age, disability, and disease. In a tweet, the company indicates that more groups will be eventually protected by this policy. So don't worry, the snowflakes will get in there eventually. Twitter also does not allow misgendering or naming transgender people by the name they used before they transitioned, also called dead naming. What if you did it accidentally?
Like, and you didn't know. I would like you to hear seen them their since definition high school. Of misgendering is calling them by their actual gender. Some people would say is not misgendering. You're a dude, and I call you a chick. Is it misgendering? Even if you want to be called a chick. One's factually correct. The other is your opinion.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to get to the point where, you know, your profile pic is just going to have to be a shot of your groin so that people can tell.
No, because you could have a feminine penis.
Very feminine penis.
Or, if you have a vagina, you can have a conceptual penis.
A very hard conceptual penis.
This got weird.
You don't want to go down this hole.
Me and Madman can do this all day.
You're right. This is a hole I absolutely want to stay away from.
Yeah. Yeah, this is
yeah, we're not breaking the cotton ceiling on your show. Let's move on.
Yeah. And if you'd like to know where the cotton ceiling is, send 1595 to P.O. Box.
P.O. Box with a self-addressed envelope. What is this, the 90s?
Yeah.
You're right. These are whim laws.
Company said in October 2019 that its automated moderation tools now flag and remove more than half of all abusive tweets before users report them. So eventually, you know, you're seeing this with some of the other social media platforms too. It's just going to get to where you can't say anything. If you're not promoting a brand or saying something is awesome, you're just not going to be allowed to say it.
Yeah. Let's hope it gets like that, because it'll drive a lot of people away from Twitter. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we all want? A world free of Twitter.
I think so.
You know,
what is your usage going up or down?
Yes.
Last time it was actually going down.
I mean, it hasn't been a thing for years, man.
Well, like, for me, it's never been a thing.
For normal people, you know what I mean? Big normies get on there now and just go, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is that? Who is this person?
And why are they posting porn?
Pretty much. It's like Pornhub having a comment section. Why do fucking porn sites have comment sections? I never got it.
So they can link you to the full video, obviously. You know, here's the mega link.
So you can make requests, are you?
I'm not a big big porn person. I don't know much about it, but
I'm assuming that's absolutely not the thing. That's why I was making that joke.
Well, they're trying to do that porn pass thing here in Australia.
Yeah, I've got that.
And I'm like, I don't care. And pornography is not free speech. I don't care. Sorry, I'll get to my spiel when we get to that story. I didn't know you had it.
Yeah, that'll be the next to last story. Psychro sent me one that was lower on the totem pole, so, you know, we'll...
Congratulations, Psychro. Get the golden turd this week. Get your story.
It's amusing that you used that description. Because when we get to that story...
I don't look at show notes, you know that.
I haven't posted them ahead of the show in a very long time for that very reason. Oh, fuck. so you can discuss the cinematographic aspects. It's like, yes, yes, the camera angle here on the hind side of the ass was absolutely horrible. They really need to get a lighting expert in there. And whoever the hell stuck the microphone directly in the actress's face needs to...
Yeah, you're watching porn for fucking camera tips. I get it.
You can tell the difference between a tripod and a cameraman.
Well, yeah, the tripod's more well hung.
Aha, uh-huh, see what you did there.
Nice.
This is just going downhill fast.
All right.
Let's do this BBC story. This is one you sent me earlier in the week. It's from the BBC.com. Rail station Wi-Fi provider exposed traveler data. We're not going back to that DP view. I'm sorry. He's commenting. Oh, fuck. Anyways, BBC. Okay, I see what you did. I'm referring to the... well, you know... I wouldn't be surprised if the British Broadcasting Company was nothing but a big... Okay. The email addresses and travel details of about 10,000 people who use the free Wi-Fi at UK rail stations have been exposed online. Network Rail and the service provider C3 UK confirmed the incident 3 days after being contacted by BBC News about the matter. The database, found online by a security researcher, contained 146 million records, including personal contact details and dates of birth, and it was not password protected. Named railway stations in BBC, and screenshots seen by BBC News, include Harlow Mill, Chelmsford, Colchester, Wickford, and Waltham Cross, Norwich, and London Bridge. C3 UK said it had secured the exposed database, a backup copy that included about 10,000 email addresses, as soon as it had been drawn to their attention by researcher Jeremiah Fowler from Security Discovery. To the best of our knowledge, this database was only accessed by ourselves and the security firm, and no information was made publicly available, it said. Given the how do you know?
They said to the best of our knowledge. They're not keeping logs, so to the best of their knowledge, no one ever looked at it.
Well, I mean, if they're not running the hosting, how do you get the logs? I mean, you ask for them, but...
To the best of their knowledge. To the best of my knowledge, no one has ever hacked your IRC.
It's not my IRC. That's the beauty of it.
And whosoever it is, it's still the best of my knowledge, because I can't see shit. They don't know what the fuck you're talking about, thus they can lie. Your shit's secure, sir. Or as far as I know, your shit's secured, sir.
That's what that's what your errors and omissions insurance is for, right? So, given the database did not contain any passwords or other critical data, such as financial information, this was identified as a low-risk potential vulnerability. But Mr. Fowler said, based on what he had seen with his own eyes, it appeared to be searchable by username, meaning individuals' regular travel patterns could be gleaned by tracking when they had logged into each station's Wi-Fi service. He found it unsecured on Amazon Web Services storage. So, S3 bucket. So... you have to intentionally turn logging on for S3 buckets. So back to what we were saying, how do you know? Because if whoever's hosting this thought it was a good idea to throw a database in a public S3 bucket, you know, what are the chances that they bothered to enable logging and they didn't bother to lock it down, so...
And they're already planning to sell your information. You know this because it's free public Wi-Fi... that you have to create an account to use. They were tracking you, what you're looking at, and they're selling it to someone.
Yeah, for somebody probably building a marketing profile. The database, created between the 28th of November 2019 and the 12th of February 2020, had also revealed software updates and the type of software being used by devices connected to the Wi-Fi, he said, that can provide a secondary pathway for the installation of malware, Mr. Fowler said. You know, yeah, I guess if you know what you're targeting. But he had not downloaded and analyzed the entire thing. When you see that information, you are racing against the clock to get it closed down, he said. Well, that one's actually true, because that means you have to get a hold of whoever the hell is running that Amazon account and say, hey, take this off the public internet, you nudnik. What are you doing? I am going to send a security researcher to hit you with a trout. I mean, it's just like... Anyways, Mr. Fowler contacted C3UK on the 14th of February and sent two further follow-up emails over the following 6 days, but he said he had received no reply. C3UK said it had chosen not to inform the data regulator, the Information Commissioner's Office, because the data had not been stolen or accessed by any other party. But you're not... How do you know? This is what sucks about knowing how to do digital forensics and investigations.
Yeah, you know that every word spoken in the media about a security breach is bullshit.
Pretty much. Yeah, and when they said we chose not to inform the data regulator, that's we thought we could get away with it. The ICO confirmed to BBC News, it had not been notified. So I'm sure the ICO loves it when they get the article from the BBC News. It's like, yeah, when the Information Commissar's Office shows up with a news article showing what your company did, you're in for a bad day. Just saying. As somebody who's dealt with government regulators, you're in for a bad day. When a data incident occurs, we would expect an organization to consider whether it is appropriate to contact the people affected and consider whether there are steps that can be taken to protect them from any potential adverse effects, it said. The Rail Network has now told BBC that its own data protection team will contact the ICO to explain its position and advise that it had strongly suggested to C3UK that it consider reporting the vulnerability. That's the rail station saying, not us, not us, we didn't do it, don't murder us.
We outsourced it. Murder them.
They get the remedial actions. They get the fines. Not us. We didn't do it. Don't kill us. On its website, C3UK says it offers its clients captive audience monetization via sponsorship, in-page display, and local microsite delivery, and promises real-time reporting on passenger location, behavior, and content preferences. Oh.
Whoa.
That means that database was public on purpose, and they were selling access to it.
That's... Yeah.
And because that company couldn't even be bothered to put a password portal on that database, you fucking idiots.
They fly by night much?
No shit. It's like, what'd you do? We bought a bunch of routers off eBay and opened a Wi-Fi company.
It sounds like what they did.
Greater Anglica, which runs some... Well, actually, they probably waited until they had a contract, then they purchased the hardware with the money from the contract. Greater Anglica, which runs some of the stations affected, said it no longer used C3UK to provide its stations Wi-Fi. Oops, lost contract. Network Rail, which manages London Bridge Station, said, we have been assured by our supplier that this was a low-risk issue and the integrity of people's information remains fully secure. Passengers have to supply their gender and reason for travel in order to use the free Wi-Fi service at some stations, i.e. marketing profiles. The request was queried. Now I want to make shit up. I want to go to a London train station just to make shit up.
Me, reason of travel, blow up Old Bailey.
Gender, female.
Remember the 5th of November.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. Yeah, just get a bunch of SJWs on there, like, to, you know, complain about not having their personalized gender available on the drop down list. And then reason for travel to fix that. the request was queried by a Twitter user in 2018 who logged in at Euston Station in London. The request replied the information was taken to provide a tailored retail offer and improve experience, which pointed out there was a preferred not to say option. So, yeah. I mean... So, want to bet they were logging every website you went to when you were running this as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I see you have to create an account, because they want to track everything you do. Otherwise, it would just be, here's the Wi-Fi Here's our router and the password to it.
So now the real question is...
On a big placard in the middle of the train station.
So now the real question is, how many people, while riding London trains and ending up in this database, were commenting on porn videos?
We want actual guesses for this? It's going to be pretty high if we want actual guesses.
That database was open. I want statistics.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like polling me and are you, because I'm going to go 20,000.
Random arbitrary number.
Yes. But I'm close.
I have no idea. When you say close, do we mean in astronomical terms?
Oh, if we're going astronomical terms, I'm dead up on that bitch. I mean, I'm closer than the cameraman.
Okay. All right, let's do this next one from BuzzFeed. The coronavirus is forcing techies to work from home. Some may never go back to the office.
Oh, you don't want to do that. You want to show some office time? It helps with job security.
Companies like Microsoft, Amazon, and Twitter are encouraging workers to stay home. As the coronavirus spreads in the United States and tech companies ask their workforces to do their job from home, some in the industry are looking at the outbreak as a test case for the long-term gestating, or for the long gestating, but never arriving moment when working remotely will broadly replace working in person. We'll probably never be the same, Jennifer Christie, Twitter's head of human resources, told BuzzFeed News of the company's workplace practices. People who were reticent to work remotely will find that they really thrive that way. Managers who didn't think they could manage teams that were remote will have a different perspective. I do think we won't go back. Twitter, whose CEO Jack Dorsey said he wanted to move towards a distributed workforce in the most recent earnings call, is one of a number of companies asking employees to work from home as the coronavirus hits the U.S. Square, which Dorsey also runs, asked the same of its employees this week. Job board website Indeed has mandated it. Amazon has asked employees to test VPNs, anticipating that they might need to work from home as well. And some tech workers are starting to clock in from home before their companies roll out an official policy of having most or all of their employees work from home or outside a central office. A distributed workforce means outsourcing, right? Sometimes. It certainly makes it easier to outsource if everyone's remote, because then you don't have to bring them into an office, train them up, and walk them around introducing them awkwardly to everyone. I'm like, yeah, ignore Phil over there in the corner. We all know he's weird and doesn't bathe. Just, you know, not having to deal with that.
Stay away from Steven. He's a furry.
I guess that would be the plus shot, is when somebody's working from home and everyone gets on the WebEx and the furries left their camera on and they're still in costume.
Oh, come on.
Because then you just make fun of them.
If you're working from home, at least put pants on if you're teleconferencing. Come on.
Or, people, you know, make sure the computer you're using has all the cameras covered up. So.
Maybe just disconnect them.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, too. And I wouldn't be lying if I wouldn't, you know, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't hopped on a WebEx at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, realized that computer had a camera on it because I was testing something for a 3D printer, and my boss laughing at me and then just smacking the camera off the top of the monitor. Broke that camera when I did that. But, so.
Our telecommuting policy? You're required to have a camera.
Yeah, they want to make sure that you're actually, you know, there and working and not just sitting at home in your underwear. So
it doesn't have to see my pants, but it has to see my face.
This is where,
dude,
you just rig
if you
up a
have
convincing
to do
loop.
That. I was gonna say, if you have to do that, at least set up a green screen with some shit going on behind you.
Ooh, or you get know, that thing off. Get that thing off Skype that lets you replace your face with cartoon characters. Or not Skype.
Yeah.
Steam sells it. What's that thing called? Stream avatars or something like that?
I think most of the freebie cam programs out there have stuff like that.
You know, that way you can get
on an image.
You need to be able to get on a very serious incident call, you know, as a cat.
dog ears and shit.
Or Instagram filters, so you got, you know, like the, your face contorted and everything.
What country accidentally left that on when they were giving some serious fucking speech?
Like, oh, I don't know. That sounds awesome.
The defense minister came out and he was giving a speech on like something or other, and they hadn't turned the filter off. And every now and then he would look up and he'd have like dog ears and a big tongue. It was fucking hilarious.
For, you know, when the best way to give out your major speeches to your country is through Instagram. Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's see. But no, this is more companies don't want to bother running an office building anymore. They just want everybody to work from home remotely. So.
Got to get that productivity up.
Yep.
I don't know about getting productivity up, but some of the things I've read in business articles, work from homes are usually the first people to get cut whenever there's downsizing.
That's one
reason people are very, very afraid of the whole, let's transition you to working at your house. Because almost everything I do, I can do from home. If they stuck me with a secure net, just a secure VPN to one of our databases, I can do all the research from my computer. But if they don't see me in the office, I think they're going to eventually stop giving me a paycheck.
Well, and that's the other thing, as you just mentioned, do it all from your computer. I'm sure a lot of companies like this would like to set it up so that you just use a Citrix session or, you know, go through a VPN and just web apps and not even a full VPN. So that, yeah, instead of providing you a company laptop and an office or a cube and a company phone, they just, you know, you work from home, you use your own equipment, and they just don't have to deal with it. I could absolutely see that. It's just a way of reducing their infrastructure costs, really.
I could see it reducing their costs, reducing their overhead, and I don't honestly think it would hurt their productivity that much. I have enough of a work ethic that I'll get the job done. Now, I've also got enough of a sedentary lifestyle that if this ever happens, I'm going to hit your 600-pound life, and if the paramedics ever need to get me out of my apartment, they're taking the door off the hinges and removing part of the wall. So that's never going to happen. I'm not going to do a work from home.
Yeah, they'll just roll you out on your chair. At that point, your ass will have merged into it.
You get that big mad man, I will fucking take 6 months of my life off to personally come to your house and shame you. I'm not going to help you lose the weight. I'm just going to give you shit.
So, Madman, what I'm hearing is we're going to get visited by RU a lot more often if you just, you know, every day eat an entire tub of Nutella.
Don't do that.
Oh, my heart. It's just easing up thinking about it.
Wow.
Okay. But I wasn't thinking Nutella. I was thinking lard biscuits dipped in gravy.
Okay, so KFC has this thing back where they make a chicken sandwich and it's two donuts for the bun. You're going to need to get about 12 of those every day.
I saw that. It's like, it's the double down, but worse. How the fuck could you make the double down worse?
Deep fry it and then dip it in chocolate. I'd have a very successful chain of businesses in America.
So, yeah, what do you got there? It's a heart attack.
A triple bacon sandwich. All right, deep fry it, rub it in chocolate. Put some sprinkles on it.
So, okay, so back to the article here. We've gotten a lot of positive reactions going in this direction in terms of putting our safety of our employees first, Christie said, and some other companies might be willing to take the leap. My company's told me to work from home, so I'm going to be doing it at least for a little while, probably a week, knowing the way everybody's just panicked at this point. So clearly never eaten a mayo cake. You're right. I have never had a mayonnaise cake.
What kind of sick part of the region do you live in? That would be a thing.
Have you ever had a chocolate beer cake with caramelized bacon?
No, I'd rather eat a handful of wasps.
I fucking hate wasps.
Hence my I'd rather eat a fucking handful of wasps. Yeah. Fucking hell, man. I didn't go into a fucking diabetic coma, and I'm not even a diabetic eating that shit. It's just I'm not into chocolates and ice creams and shit like that. It just doesn't do it for me.
So
I'm one of those unfortunate creatures who don't like sweet stuff.
The rest of the article is basically detailing, you know, currently where we are with the coronavirus and that more and more offices are doing this. And so many people love the idea of moving to virtual workspaces, which, you know, I can see the appeal. And I personally, I have the option of working from home basically whenever I want. But, you know, it's, you know, part of having a tech job is just that's a thing, right? The downside is they basically expect you to remote in anytime, anywhere if something's happening. So, and not only that, but I personally have associated my office at home with Galaxy 15 and working on printers and, you know, playing games. Yeah. So if you're also working your regular job at the same desk you're, you know, entertaining yourself at, you start getting this strange dissociative, you know, like you associate sitting at your desk at work with doing your job. You associate sitting at your desk at home with playing video games, and mixing those two up could get confusing. And I could see a lot of people not being able to separate the, you know, time to play some Quake and time to, you know, actually be doing the job, filing your TPS reports.
I can raid all the time.
Why do you think static outlevels us in every MMO we play?
Because he works. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Also, too, it's a great way to break that conditioning of home and work life. Well, once you're at work 24 hours a day in your cockpod, you're not going to know the difference between work and play.
Yeah.
They've got you 24 hours a day once you work from home. Oh, you're asleep? We'll ring you on the phone, wake you up, get in the teleconference.
Why weren't you watching Slack? Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, we need you on the WebEx right now. Why aren't you on Microsoft Teams? That's the best part, is when you have all these different things going at once. Because I'll be on a WebEx trying to deal with something and be getting messages on Slack with people wanting me to join some other thing. And it's like, already booked. Can't you see on the... You know, can't you see on the status thing that I'm already in a meeting? Yeah, but this is more important. No. No, it's not. I'm on an incident call. But DP View has missed the point. He's saying Slack has the worst notifications, and he's not wrong. The problem is that Slack never stops. So... it's like email, but worse, because people expect you to respond to it a hell of a lot faster. Because they associate it with instant messaging. So.
Oh, yeah, I could see that going to the 24-hour work cycle really quick.
Yeah.
You've heard me bitch when we're not doing shows about it. I've been on the incident calls to 3 in the morning. I've been, you know, just trading Slack messages all fucking night. I've been woken up by my phone going off with somebody asking me a stupid fucking question at 4 in the morning. So believe me, it gets old really fucking fast. And then when you don't reply on Slack because, you know, it's 4 in the morning and I don't know what planet I'm on yet. It's just like, well, you weren't responding, so I escalated. So now you're bugging my boss at 4:30 in the morning because nobody's awake. And because
it's 4:30 in the fucking morning.
Yeah. But they're up, so they expect everybody else to be up. But I'm not bitter. Not at all. You guys ready for the next article?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Next one up is from the Hacker News. LexEncrypt is revoking 3 million TLS certificates because they incorrectly issued them. The most popular free certificate signing authority, Let's Encrypt, is going to revoke more than 3 million TLS certificates within the next 24 hours that have been issued wrongfully due to a bug in its certificate authority software. I think this one's out of date because Let's Encrypt announced they were going to be waiting a couple more days. Let's see. Yeah. So the bug, which Let's Encrypt confirmed on February the 29th, was fixed 2 hours after discovery. It impacted the way it checked the domain name ownership before it issued new TLS certificates. As a result, the bug opened up a scenario where certificate could be issued even without adequately validating the holder's control of a domain name. Which is exactly what I was worried about when Let's Encrypt was first set up, is that it's too easy to get fake certificates for domains. The Certification Authority Authorization, CAA, and Internet Security Policy allows domain name holders to indicate a certificate authority or to certificate authorities whether or not they are authorized to issue digital certificates for a specific domain name. Let's Encrypt considers domain name validation results good only for 30 days from the time of validation, after which it rechecks the CAA record authorizing the domain before issuing the certificate. The bug, which was uncovered in the code for Boulder, the certificate signing software used by Let's Encrypt, is as follows. When a certificate request contained N domains that needed CAA rechecking, Boulder would pick one domain name and check it N times. Oh, somebody broke their for loop. In other words, when Boulder needed to parse, for example, a group of 5 domain names that required CAA checking, it would check one domain name 5 times as opposed to checking each of the 5 domains once. So all you had to do was, you know, put 10 domains on a request, only one of them is the one that you're actually trying to spoof, and then the others just be ones that you actually have the right to issue certificates for, and just keep trying until you get it, and hope that the random one picked is not your fake one. Because they're free, so who cares if you're wasting a bunch of certs, right? The company said the bug was introduced as part of an update back in July of 2019. This means that Let's Encrypt might have issued certificates that it shouldn't have in the first place, as a result, it's revoking all TLS certificates that were affected by the bug. The development comes as Let's Encrypt's project announced last week that it issued its 1 billionth free TLS certificate since 2015. Let's Encrypt said 2.6% of approximately 116 million active certificates are affected. About 3,048,289, out of which 1 million are duplicates of others affected certificates. Effective website owners have until 8 p.m. UTC on March the 4th, so yesterday, to automatically renew and replace certificates, failing which visitors to the websites will be greeted with TLS security warnings. It's worth noting that certificates issued by Let's Encrypt are only valid for 90 days, and Acme clients such as CertBot are capable of automatically renewing them. Website admins will have to perform a forced renewal to prevent any interruptions. Late in the post, the Let's Encrypt team confirmed that over 1.7 million affected certificates have already been replaced before the initial deadline and also been revoked by their system. However, the company has now decided to postpone the certificate revocation process for over 1 million certificates, which it believes most likely will not be replaced until the compliance deadline, because Let's Encrypt is not willing to break so many websites and cause that inconvenience for their visitors. So they're just going to wait for them to expire now. Since, you know, it is only 3 months, I understand that. But that was going to be a bad day for TLS. Whoops. This is the problem with certificate authorities like that, is when you have one of significant size, suddenly you're looking at companies with all kinds of influence over the internet that wasn't really intended to give them. So this is why you're supposed to have lots of certificate authorities, but you know, they're not cheap to run, and trying to do them for free, you just get runs on this kind of stuff. And so it, I don't know.
Yeah.
Any other?
And
it's fixing the problem.
What makes a ticketing authority good would be its reputation. So if you get a good reputation, you're just a large business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we talked about Symantec having issues and Chrome threatening to revoke all Symantec certificates because they had bought a web proxy company. So, and that's the thing, right, is when you start to have one company that does that much stuff and they are CA, you know, it starts to be where they could abuse that position and use it to intercept network traffic and things that, you know, people aren't intending for the company to be able to view in the clear text. But that's just kind of the game anymore, you know. So, and that's trash. So, anyways, you know, and I don't think Let's Encrypt is a bad service. I just think it's ripe for abuse. Hell, I'll probably end up using it for some of my projects just to avoid paying for things, but that's more being cheap than anything. Like I said, I don't think the service itself is bad. I just, yeah.
Honestly, it being free, I think, is what makes it a lot easier to abuse.
That's kind of my point. So, anyways, next one up. This is for RU, not so much from RU, but it's from The Guardian. Australia could implement mandatory age verification for pornography websites. A government report calls for users to verify their age before access, despite the UK abandoning similar proposals. Australians could be forced in the next year to use a federal government identity verification service in order to view pornography websites under recommendations by a government-led parliamentary committee. A House of Representatives committee issued a report on Thursday calling for the eSafety Commissioner to develop a roadmap for bringing in mandatory age verification for online pornography sites in the next 12 months. Users in Australia could be forced to verify their age before accessing pornography through what could be an exchange hosted by the government to allow identity verification without any of the sites needing to host that user's personal information like credit card details or other identity documents. The committee has said that there should be minimal retention of personal information so as not to create a honeypot of sensitive data. If data must be retained, it must be stored in a secure way. The committee did not recommend using the proposed facial verification service developed by Home Affairs on account of the legislation backing the service being sent back to the drawing board. The recommendation comes despite the UK abandoning a similar proposal last year. The committee acknowledged that the plethora of pornography available on overseas websites in Google search results and on social media sites like Twitter would not be able to be captured, and many overseas sites would not comply with age verification requests from Australia, and that young people would likely bypass the age verification system, but said verification was the best way to reduce harm. So we know it's not going to do a damned thing, not a damned thing, but we're still going to make you do it.
Yeah. Because it's not about that at the end of the day. It's about digital licenses. They want to know who everyone is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about, man. And, you know, pornography, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care. It's not a free speech issue. Now, don't get me wrong. When the government tried to pass legislation to saying that women with small tits cannot do pornography in Australia, then I got angry. Not that I care about women with small tits. It's just the fact that if you've got small tits and want to do pornography, the government should not be able to fucking stop you just because you have a biological disadvantage to a larger-breasted lady. So I'll fight for that, but I'm not fighting for your right to look at porn. It's not a free speech right.
Well, I just like this quote right here. "We must not let the perfect be the enemy of the good," said Committee Chair Andrew Wallace.
Oh, yeah. Then we get the review on anime because some fucking idiot grandkid showed his senator grandpa Goblin Slayer.
Hey, Grandpa, look at the goblins raping this girl.
Exactly. And, like, God, if he thinks fucking Goblin Slayer is bad, Jesus, man, he hasn't even scratched the surface. No, what this is a government that has an absolute fucking majority in all the houses. Just throwing in whatever rules it feels like. And the fact that our Prime Minister is in a cult. He is in the Hillsong Church Group. which is a fucking cult. I don't care what anyone says. So is Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church. Is a cult, you big dental fucker. You know? If you're in a religion where the heads of the religion are flying around in private jets, you're in a cult. So most of the prime minister and his cabinet are involved with the cult of Hillsong. And they're a puritanic motherfucking lot. They are. So look forward to more of this. I'm expecting a big kickback. Video game violence is another big one they'll probably bring in.
They relaxed a bunch of that stuff on you, too. We were actually able to play Left 4 Dead the other day.
So I'm expecting they're going to go after that one for the children because, and politics is so fucking messy right now. Because let's face it, there are no real men or women in politics. There's just puppets.
If there's any group of people I don't want thinking of the children, it's well-connected politicians who aren't going to be prosecuted for anything.
Exactly. There's a reason I live like I live in this country, and it's because of this bullshit. I'm not going to live under those laws.
I just think if you're going to pass a law, it needs to be something that you can actually enforce reasonably.
I used to make a mint selling pornography at work. Not when I was retard wrangling. I would never sell pornography at retard. Yeah, back when I was on the building sites, man, before...
Hey, Bill, look at this. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, I'd burn DVD porn for dudes. $20 a disc. You know what I mean? This pornography ban, it plays right into my extracurricular activities. Let's just say that.
Hell, we all used to sell burned pirate music discs back in high school. So I mean,
yeah, I mean, I don't mind legislation like this because yeah, it helps me out with my side hustle sort of thing.
Unless they have a way of either blocking or forcing offshore sites to comply,
which they don't.
They would need to build the Chinese firewall for Australia.
Nah, man, it's all about control. They want to control. We were sold to the Chinese years ago. We just didn't know it. This is part of it. We're going to have a top-down public credit score, shit like that.
Well, just wait until they start raiding people's homes for owning using a VPN service.
Oh, that's coming. It's looking good. I can't wait. If the Woohoo flu doesn't get us, man.
Yeah.
But no, this is just about control. This is not about the children. This is about knowing who everyone is. Because remember, they passed those backdoor laws that the ASIO can just get into any Australian citizen's computer whenever they feel like without a warrant to make sure you're not doing anything. We just made hard currency illegal. You can't trade in more than $10,000 worth of hard currency because they're trying to force everybody into the bank. At the moment in this country, you don't have to use a bank if you don't want to. Get paid, cash your check, put your money under the mattress. Don't have to do it. Want to buy a new car? There's $60,000 under your mattress. Take it down, pay cash for the car. That's illegal now. So they're trying to control the money. They want to control what you see. I don't have to get Alex Jones up in this shit. You can see it. So the only reason to control hard currency is controlling the people. They want every cent in the bank so the banks can control.
Because they want to be able to pull Greece and just pull money out of your account whenever.
Exactly. Because they want to head to zero interest rates. That's what all this is about. They want to charge you money for having your money in the bank.
That would be a negative interest rate, not a zero.
Sorry, negative interest rate, yes. That's where we're looking. You don't need to have much of imagination to see where my country is going when it comes to restrictive rules.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Ben.
As far as restricting who's going to see pornography, I actually don't have an issue with that.
Neither do I.
But... I don't like the idea of passing a law if you already know you can't enforce it. Like, I know people say the war on drugs is lost. That's because we're not fighting a war on drugs. We're fighting a war on drug dealers. We don't penalize users that much in my country. Unless you're using cocaine. That one will get you. But like weed, most other shit, don't penalize users.
If you were going to really fight a war on drugs, you'd have boots on the ground in Mexico, Colombia, the Golden Triangle, and you'd be absolutely just destroying the heads of the cartels.
You could do it that way, or you could just control the border and go the Filipino route. You walk up to somebody who's using something illicitly, and you shoot them in the head.
Yeah, there you go. That's a big deterrent. Duterte really sorted that out by putting a bounty on drug users' heads. $1,500, kill a drug user.
But is that's my problem with your country's current plan on let's ban porn. They're openly admitting we're not going to be able to do anything about Pornhub because it's not in our country. And we're not filtering the internet to prevent things from not in our country from getting. They should go the Russia route. Build your own.
I just don't like the idea of the government trying to regulate or control the internet at all. They're just not situated to do it well. They suck, and I don't want to deal with it. So anyways, the final story I have for us tonight was sent to us by Psychros, and you know, speaking of back doors, this man is controlling a robot with his butthole.
How?
Danny Plother's Behind Performance Art Installment used a hacked anal probe to drive around a little bot with his sphincter.
You squeeze, it goes forward, you release, it backs up and turns left, and then you squeeze whenever it gets to the angle you want it to go at.
An artist in the Netherlands claimed he can drive a robot around with the power of his sphincter. Behind offers a unique Internet of Things solution to fully integrate your sphincter muscle in everyday living. According to a description for the opening event and champagne reception held on February 7th in Rotterdam, the revolutionary anal electric powered interface. Yes, this is a Vice article. The revolutionary anal electric powered interface system replaces conventional hand and voice based device interaction and enables.
No, it doesn't.
Enables advanced digital control rooted in the interiors of your body. As part of a challenge set by art organizations V2, the lab for the Unstable Media in Rotterdam and In4Art, artists had to recreate the previous V2-hosted work with their own twist. And the first, and so far only in that series, artist Danny Plother's Behind is inspired by a bizarre piece of 1994 performance art by Stellark, an artist whose work typically centered on the idea that human bodies are obsolete. In Amplified Body, Stellark hooked himself up to industrial medical robots and other hardware that was controlled by electrical impulses from his muscles. Also note, there's nothing up his ass. For Behind, according to a project page on Plother's site, he hacked a commercially available anal electric probe device called Anuform that's typically used to stimulate your anal sphincter muscles and pelvic floor muscles, making them stronger, according to the device's website. To follow the contractions of his sphincter muscles and translate them to commands for a small, cute consumer robot, the Keckler, which looks like a bulbous Roomba. They have a video of the opening night of Behind, which unfortunately apparently looks like it not safe for work, where Plother describes how it works, projects a video of his anal cavity onto the gallery walls, and demonstrates the device on a shit-streaked robot. Another of his performance art pieces, called Electrode from 2011, uses the same type of anal electrode to play music. And they have videos for all of this if anyone's interested. We're not watching them or listening to them, but, you know, if you're interested. Like that previous project, according to the Behind project page, the sounds in the room during the installment also came from his connected butthole. The reenactment will mainly draw from samples of direct recordings of bodily processes, i.e. heartbeat, blood flow, and muscle contractions, he wrote. Thus, the sound of the work will focus more on the wetness and fleshiness of human bodies than their interaction with technological devices. At the champagne-fueled butthole show, Plugger told the author that the audience's responses were diverse.
That's polite.
There was some unclarity and confusion, he said. Some asked whether the product had left the prototyping phase yet or how many had been sold already. An art collector bought one of the vacuum-sealed electrodes with feces on it. A few people left because they thought it was disgusting. Two people wanted to try it for themselves after they saw the pitch.
That's not art, and did they disinfect the controller?
I don't know.
Real good this story has done me. I might as well stick it up my ass.
There's a reason.
Thank
we
you,
wanted...
Psychros.
Yes, there it is. We wanted to make sure we all knew that we got this from Psychros. Let's move. Let's swiftly move on to this. Only one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that is OWASP has put out a incubator project. They've had a 1.0 version release of a project called Threat Dragon. What this program is, it's a threat modeling application. So the idea is that you would run this, and you can run it either as a desktop app or a web app, and you map out your data flows, your processes, how people use your systems, right? So, you know, if you maybe your company's based around a collection of web apps and back-end databases and queries and things like that. So you could actually go into the application and map out, okay, a user starts at a browser, they access the web application, that access these databases, that access these configs, this messaging queue. And after you've mapped all that out, the program has a rules engine in it to try to automatically suggest threats. Now, you can, of course, manually put your own in as well as what the mitigations for those threats are. So the idea is that you would use this application to map out how your business applications work, figure out what the threats to them are, and use that to guide putting remediations or controls in place so that you're actually appropriately defending your business as opposed to just going, well, the security consultant told me I needed an antivirus and told me I needed to have a pen test done every 6 months, you know. So this is actually trying to map out what's the legitimate threats to my business and mitigating them. Also, if you can get your programmers to go through the exercise of mapping this shit out, that helps with a lot of other efforts. So if nothing else, it's a nice tool for just doing some process mapping.
It could cut down redundancy.
Like nobody's business when done correctly. Yeah. Man.
We have a couple of web tools that overlap on which databases they use.
I've had to use this shit. I've had to do these processes in Visio in the past. Believe me, having a dedicated program that's meant for it will be so much nicer. Go ahead with the databases.
Oh, yeah. So we subscribe to a few different services that let us get into some databases that are a bit faster than manually searching everything for what we look for. And once we looked at some overlap, we were able to cut out one of our vendors.
Yep. That's always a really easy way to justify the cost of something. Because look, we saved $1 million a year on a vendor. So, but anyways, it's a nice little project, at least for mapping, doing some mapping and threat modeling work. And like I said, if you can get your business to sit down and actually do this, from a security standpoint, you can drive all kinds of fun exercises. Like I said, one actually targeting your remediations and showing that you're doing things that would, you know, actually matter, as opposed to just throwing whatever the security vendors are selling at it and hoping for the best. And two, you can actually plan what are called tabletop exercises. Anybody who's ever played D&D will get the concept right away. You sit down with these maps and potentially the configs and your networking layout, and you say, okay, we've had a breach, and you point to a system here. and then you sit down with your sysadmins and your security people and your business admins, and you figure out, okay, this box is now dead. It's gone. It's been hacked. The data on it's exposed. And you start running exercises as though these things were real. You're just not touching the actual computers so that you can figure out processes, things you need to fix, notification trees, call trees. The last time I ran a tabletop for this, we actually figured out the call tree was wrong. So, admittedly, that was like 3 years ago. But I managed to get a tabletop running at the company. That in itself was, you know, fun. But you're basically doing a role-playing game with your actual network, and instead of dice, it's all just logic. So, kind of fun. Also kind of nerdy, but...
If this web app gets hacked, what all can they get into?
Yeah, pretty much. And then you say, okay, from here, they can pivot to this, to that. You know, what would prevent it? And you actually run through those kind of exercises of, okay, you know, we're letting this person into our network because they're a contractor, but let's say they're actually a bad actor. What's preventing them from accessing this system and this system? And, you know, usually when they say, well, you know, a username and a password, and it's like, okay, but we have username and passwords in these systems over here, and they have access to those systems, you know, things like that. You start finding shit like that really quickly.
Database A has the username and password for database B. They don't have access to B, but they have access to A, so they can get the credentials for B.
Well, it's usually more along the lines of, you know, database B has your customer information in it. They're not supposed to touch real customer information, but your document repository has testing accounts for database A in it, so that they could potentially get into database A with the testing accounts, right? So it's logic. It's all just running logic scenarios, and it really comes down to, you know, figuring out, okay, we know what these systems do, and then we don't actually know what these systems do. You start asking questions about, well, what about these boxes over here, and it's fascinating when you do it right and you actually have people participating, you know, honestly. It's a horrific nightmare when nobody wants to be there and they think it's dumb and a waste of time.
And finding out how many boxes, you have no idea what the hell they do.
Which is a surprising number in most organizations, by the way. It's like, who set that up? Oh, Bill set that up. He left the company 4 years ago.
And the project he was working on died 2 years ago, 2 years after that, and we've been paying a subscription up until now on something we don't fucking use.
So what happens if we turn it off? Nobody knows, which is why we haven't turned it off. The business might not work anymore. You know, and you get into shit like that, right? So this is an application to help set that kind of thing up, and especially if you do the web version of it, you could potentially pass it around to your teams and be like, okay, fill this shit out, right? And like I said, if you get earnest, real participation, you can really come up with some fun scenarios and fix problems. The hard part is getting that participation, because it has been my experience, most business people think it's a waste of time to map this shit out until they see the finished diagram. Then they love it, because then it's like, oh my God, I can see what's going on. But explain to them why they care. Yeah. Which reminds me of something else I'll tell you guys about off air, because it involves work, and I can't exactly tell the story without getting into details. So anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it in the IRC tonight. Myself, Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, which is apparently a bot, Psychros twice, DPView, Madman, and Overnoid, who hasn't said anything. Listen to the stream, always working on it. Of course, peer decking every Thursday, for the most part. The Galaxy 15 Radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC, which I just read out. I'm repeating myself. Madman, closing thoughts.
I think one big problem with this last story on getting participation from different groups, a lot of times they're more worried about, I've already got this set number of shit I've got to get done, and now you want something else, and I don't have another man to...
That's fair, and that's a common thing I hear. The other thing is that they know what they've built is shit, and they just don't want to admit it to anybody else.
Oh, yeah, but everything's shit. We're making it better. I know you cobbled this out of toothpicks and chewing gum to pass regs last week. We're coming in and actually planning out something now. Why?
It's like, no, it's fine. We know it's all crap. It's fine. But, yeah, convincing people that it's not a backdoor thing to try to get them fired is an ongoing problem I have for some reason. I'm not really sure why.
The backdoor thing to get you fired is to work from home. I'm going to let you know that right now. Work from home. We're testing.
I mean, I realize
when I start
investigating. Do we notice
a drop in productivity with you not doing anything?
I mean, I realize what my record is when I start investigating things going on in the company and people losing their jobs. But, I don't understand why everybody thinks every project I try to do like this is trying a backdoor to get them fired or lose resources or something. I mean, I don't know where this shit comes from. Are you closing thoughts?
I'm sitting here waiting to catch the Woohoo flu, just like everyone else.
Yep.
How long are you guys working at home for? A week?
At least.
We'll have to play some games or something.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's all I got. It's time to start hitting buttons on the soundboard.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I have testicular cancer.
Oh, that's
and the Woohoo
is.
Flu.
But shut up, Wesley.
How did I get the Kefka laugh in there?
No idea.